All right, we're going to get started right now. Here's where I want to go, okay? Because, oh my goodness, you guys, look. If this is your opinion, you can keep your opinion. But I'm going to tell you what this church teaches. And I know what it teaches because I teach it. So I know. But I'm going to ask you this question. Are you a saint or are you a sinner? And some of you are already saying, no, I'm not a saint. Well, that only leaves one. So don't have any false humility here. If the Bible calls you a saint, you're a saint. It just means a Christian. It just means sold out to God. That's all that means. But we get hung up on these titles and certain words. But today, people are so confused about what they believe and confused about they don't know what they believe. They're not just confused. They're confused because they just don't know really what they believe. This really bothered me the other day. My little grandson's now 7. And, you know, I mean, we fed into him ever since they've been here. And he says to me, we're just having a casual lunch. He says to me, Nana, did you know I'm a sinner? And I said, you are, Parker? And he goes, yeah, I'm a sinner. I said, how do you know? He says, so-and-so told me that I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And I said, baby, let me tell you something. Does Jesus live in your heart? And he said, yes. Then I said, you are not a sinner. You guys better help me or I'm going to ride this horse all the way to the barn. I'm just telling you. I said, baby, you are not a sinner. The Bible doesn't even say we're sinners saved by grace. It says we are saved by grace. But once you got saved, you are no longer a sinner. Do you think that Jesus did everything that he did on that cross, that he came to this filthy world and earth, shed his blood for us to keep us living in sin, to keep us sinners? Now, when we become Christians, are we perfect? Nope, but we're not sinners. Sinners are people that don't believe in God. They don't know him. He says, well, Nana, no, I am. I said, no, you're not. So, man, it took me a little while. But, you know, once these little guys get something fed into them, all these years of teaching, and now he says, I'm a sinner. But I'm saved by grace. I said, oh, yeah, you're saved by grace. But you are a new creature, baby. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Bible says all those old things we did, they passed away. And behold, all things have become new. As Dee just said, she's not the person she used to be. You're not the person you used to be. I'm not the person I used to be. There comes a time in your life when you will meet Jesus. You may have known him. I've known him since I was a young girl. But there will come a time in your life where conviction will rise up in your heart. And you got to realize, whoa, I got to make things right here. You don't know what it was, but you have to make it right. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. If we do not get this right now, if we don't get it right, it's going to mess with us in the coming days. Because, boy, these are really uncertain times. And the Apostle Paul said, oh, let the trumpet make a certain sound. In other words, don't be phony. Don't be wishy-washy. Don't be flaky. Because the world, they're street smart. They know some things. But it's not so much the world we have to worry about. It's the church. Church is trying to get by with what we can get by with because we are under grace. Oh, we're saved by grace. We live by grace. I wouldn't want to live not a second without his grace. If we fall, if we mess up, we have an advocate with the Father, the Bible says, and we can go to him and he will forgive us. But yet, we still have to make a certain sound. What do you believe? The world really wants to know what you believe. Because they might want to follow you. You say, oh, no, I couldn't have anyone follow me. What? Oh, Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. I'll let you follow me. Because I know where I'm going to lead you. I'm going to take you to him. So you can follow me. And you know what I know about you? I follow you. Because I know you. And I can follow you because that's exactly where you're going to take me. So don't be embarrassed. Don't be ashamed to make a certain sound. What are our four doctrines in this house? Let me remind you. Salvation by the blood of Jesus, that's what we believe. The song just said, I've been saved. He saved me. He saved us from ourselves. People say, oh, I'm so glad I'm saved from hell. I'm just glad I was saved from me. Okay? So, we are saved by the blood of Jesus. We are infilled with the Holy Ghost. We can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All you've got to do is ask him and seek him, and he will come in and baptize you into a greater measure. We believe in the soon coming of our Lord. We believe that Jesus is coming back. And a big word today is escapism. Ah, you guys are just trying to escape and get out of here. I'm not trying to escape anything. I just want to go be with him. For years and years, for 7 years first, while the tribulation's going on down here, I know what I believe. You know we're going to get out of here before that. That's debatable too. Everybody believes their own thing. But what do we teach? Oh, we believe he's coming back to get us like a thief in the night. And then we believe in divine healing, number four. Not all churches believe that healing is for today, but we do. We believe healing is for today, and we pray for each other, and we believe God. Joellen is sitting here today, 92 years old, had cancer I don't know how many times, and every time God lifted her up. Vivian's believing God to lift her up and chase that cancer right out of her body. So with all that Jesus did to save us, sanctify us, make us righteous in him. He didn't do all that so that we can say, oh, I'm a sinner. No, he did that so we can say, I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I know the majority, you know, I said it too before I knew better because it was a popular saying in the church that I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I know it sounds real humble. It sounds humble, but it's far from being the message of the gospel. That's not what the gospel teaches. We're no longer sinners. The Bible says they were called first Christians in Antioch. We're Christians. Next time somebody says, oh, we're just sinners, say, I'm not. Doesn't Satan mean you're better than anybody? It just means that you're blood-bought. You are God's righteousness, and you know it. He said, you are my righteousness, and you were bought with a price. Not so you could say you're a sinner. There's a sinner, and then there's you. Two different things, amen? So, you know, to say you're a sinner, that's wrong unless you are. And if you are, then that's another thing, but still you can repent and be saved. All right, show me 1 John 5:3-5, 1 John, toward the back of your Bible, if you want to find it. 1 John 2, I encourage you to bring your Bibles because I know you look above, but maybe if you take notes, well, read it when you get home so that you'll have a witness of the Word. 1 John 2. I'm going to read a little bit here. I'm going to read 3:3-5. Starting with, let's see, All right, let's read verse 3 first. Now by this we know that we know him. How? If we keep his commandments. And he who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Okay, you say, well, you know, Pastor, that's just your opinion. I'm doing this, but I don't feel like it's wrong. Well, just see what the Bible says. And it really doesn't matter what you and I think. It matters what does the Bible say about that. And then let's judge it by that. So he says, if you know me, you keep my commandments. If you don't know me, you don't keep my commandments. You do your own thing. But I want to tell you, the Spirit of God dwells in us. And I'll say it again, we are Christians. We're not sinners. And I'm going to ask you all in here, it's your opinion, but I'm going to ask you not to dishonor the Lord and what he did for us. Please don't dishonor Jesus, because the word sinner, that's just past tense in this. It's living in a different way. Okay, he who keeps his commandments, is with him. He who doesn't is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So he calls us. What does God call us? If you go through the Johns, you can go through Colossians, you can go through many books of the Bible, and you'll see that God calls us his children, his beloved, his child, his righteousness, his sons and his daughters. He calls us saints. He thinks much more of us. And let me tell you, he has more confidence in us than we do ourselves. Did you know that? Much more confidence in us than we do ourselves. And he does not want us. I mean, I heard this all day long yesterday. Tell them, please don't call themselves sinners. If they know me, I did a lot to make sure they weren't out there. He didn't die for us to leave us sinners. Now, you know what else? He said, I have set pastors and teachers and apostles and prophets and teachers in the church, a gift to the church. Why? To equip the saints. To equip the saints. That's what he called you, Tori. He said, I'm not here to equip the sinners. They're equipping themselves. They will equip themselves with whatever they want to do. So he said, I will equip you. Let me take care of you. Now in John, he talks about darkness and light. Much said about the darkness and light. And he said, now, if you live in the light, walk in the light. And if you have fellowship with me, God said, then you will walk in the light. But if you have fellowship with darkness, you'll wound up in darkness. Now tomorrow, to show you how people are drawn to darkness, millions, you know it, millions of people are gathering from all over, not just America, but they say some are coming from other countries just to see the eclipse, just to see it all go dark. Lindsay, all go dark. They'll be able to see the stars. It'll be so dark mid-afternoon. They're coming from all over. The hotels are full. Campsites are full. And you got a bunch of no-gooders that's probably going to try to hit the big crowds. So pray for the big crowds that they'll be safe from all harm and danger. And all will be well. But you see how people are drawn to darkness, even though it's 4 minutes. I'll drive 2,000 miles or fly 3,000 miles to get there to see it. But we don't have to go far, church, to look at the darkness in the world. Oh, my goodness, it's everywhere, anywhere. And the craziest things people are saying today that we're like, we can't even fathom. What are they saying? We don't get it. So I'm just saying today we've got to know to whom we belong. Who is our Father and where do we belong? And if we are out here hanging out saying, well, I'm in darkness, I'm a sinner, you just might run with that. Because, you know, sometimes I think people just use that as an excuse to say, I'm a sinner saved by grace. But if I say that, then I've got an excuse for all the mess I create. We don't have to defend ourselves. Just do the best you can and live the best that you can with the help of the Holy Ghost. And he gives us grace to live right. He didn't give us grace to live wrong. Or just to cover your sins all the time. He said, I give you grace to live right. Oh, hallelujah. Now look, church. Again, you know this. Doesn't take your pastor or anybody to tell you this. You know, things are starting to really get a little shaky. Not only in America, but around the world. I mean, it's messy. They're talking about World War III. They're talking about New World Order. Talking about murders and crime and debt and everything skyrocketing. Miss Maria told me today, I hadn't heard this. She said NASA's going to send up 3 shuttles. So, huh? 3 rockets that will head up toward the eclipse tomorrow about the time it gets dark, just to try to get as close as they can to check it out. And the 3 of them are named hellish names, demonic names. So look at it when you get home. I'm going to try to find out what they are. But they'll be named. So it's really getting shaky. So you say, okay, so you tell us it's getting shaky. Well, you know it is. Everything's a mess. But Jesus told us what to do. Because he said, it's going to get that way. He said, I'm just telling you, in the last days, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And if we do not know who we are and this trumpet doesn't make a certain sound in who you are and what you believe, you'll just be caught off like a little 2-year-old or a little 1-year-old will pick up anything off the floor and put it in its mouth. Just pick up anything. Well, we can't do that, church. We've been saved too long, okay? And the rest of you that haven't, you come with us and we'll help you. We'll help you get there. But don't just pick up everything they tell you and put it in your mouth. If so, you'll get caught up in this mess. Jesus said, oh, no, let me show you what happened, what to do when everything starts shaking. All right, let's go over here to Matthew chapter 7. Let me give you something that you're very familiar with. I cut my teeth on this in the church years ago. My pastors preached it all the time. So Jesus was talking, you can read Matthew 24, and he tells you everything that's going to happen in the last days. How about the earthquake in New York the other day? Just a sign. Eclipse tomorrow, it's a sign, and the sun, moon, and the stars. So Jesus said, so all of this is going to happen. Let me see. Yeah, we'll go ahead and start at verse 24, Kathy. Therefore, this is all written in red. Jesus himself said this, or preached it. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, that means came down. The floods came, and the winds blew. And beat, somebody say beat, the rain and the winds and the flood beat on that house. And it did not fall. You know why? He gives you the answer. For it was founded on, say it, the rock. Our rock is who? Jesus. Verse 26. He's giving them a story, a parable to look at. Verse 26. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the what? And the rain, same storm, look at it, same storm. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat on that house. And what did it do? It fell. And great was its fall. He said, I'm telling you, when that house fell, it just fell apart. There is no excuse for any Christian in this time, this era that we're in, that is so messed up. There is not a reason in this world or in heaven why any of us should fall apart if we're founded on the rock Christ Jesus. Okay, what do we do then, okay? Well, you stay in this. You read this word. Read the word. Pray. Talk to Jesus. Fast, you know, keep these things together. You know, a threefold cord is not easily broken. So if you get the word and prayer and worship and you come to church, you keep adding on. If you hang out with the saints and you hang out with good friends and you don't hang with the wrong friends, when you start hanging out with the wrong friends, you're just cutting your own throat. Yeah, but me and my bud, we've been together for years. I know, but be careful. I'm just saying, please be careful. Because you're in the last days. And that sweet and precious friend of yours, I know you've worked with her for 25 years or whatever it's been, or 10 years, or, and your best friend, you've gone fishing and together and all this. But be careful. Because when you were out there, he will be or she will be talking to you. Speaking into you. If you're at work and the opposite sex is sweet to you, be careful, because you got needy women, you got needy men, you got needy, 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 and when you do, that makes for a mess. Anyone in here? But if you're founded on the rock, you're saved by the blood of Jesus. You know him. Because you talked to him this morning. You talked to him yesterday. So you pay attention, because we have to watch our ear gate and our eye gate. We have to pay attention what we're looking at, because everything we look at today, I think it was James that said, be careful. No, Colossians. It was Paul in the book of Colossians, third chapter, about the second verse. He says, be careful, because what we see, church, we see the temporary things. We see everything around us. That's what we see. We see our friends. We see our job. We see our finances. We see the troubles. We see the trials. We see the fires. We see politics. We hear everything they're going to do in California. All of the stuff that's already in California. We see it and we hear it and we see it and we hear it and we see it. And we hear it. And pretty soon it starts coming out of our mouth. Because he said, Paul said, out of the abundance of the heart, you'll start talking like that. What you hear, what you see, frustrated with things. But in Colossians it says, oh, set your affection on things above and not on things of this earth. Because if you ever get your attention and your affection set on things of this earth, it's just going to be a bad deal. I just tell you, it's a bad deal. But as long as you're founded on the rock, when the rains come and the floods rise and the winds blow, it'll beat on your house. It beats on your home. It beats on your marriage. It beats on your family. It beats on your pocketbook. It beats and beats and beats, Sandra, on your body sometimes. I can tell you right now, if you weren't founded on the rock, you wouldn't be in this house today. You'd be home moaning and groaning. But when your house is built right, on a sure foundation, the Bible says this in Psalms, I think it's 12. He says, if the foundations be destroyed, what does a righteous do? My mama would say, what y'all gonna do? What y'all gonna do? I'll tell you what, if you're founded on a rock, you're gonna stand. If you're founded on Christ Jesus, But if you're founded on the sand, you're wishy-washy. You don't know what you believe. You do as you please. You do whatever you want. Then the Bible says when the rains come down and the floods rise up and it gets really hard and the winds start to blow and beat, you'll fall apart. Somebody told me yesterday, said, pray for my daughter. She goes, she's going through this. And she goes, I was afraid she's going to have a nervous breakdown. She looks like she's just ready to have a meltdown. I go, meltdown? I said, you all know Jesus? I just got that scripture in me, which has always been there. But you know, you get these words like beat. I said, now listen, you better get her little mind. Her little mind. She's a grown woman, but you better get her mind back over on the rock. Because if she starts playing around in that shifty sand, those rains come, the floods come, the winds blow, she'll fall. And the Bible says, great will be the fall of it. Oh, my gosh. She goes, yeah, I better do that. I said, See, we got no time to play in this one, church. The time is up. Time is up. If you were going to mess around, Becky Fender said, if you were going to backslide, if you were going to play in sin, if you were going to do what you want, it was none of God's business or the church's business. She said, you should have done that back in 1952. But she said, don't do it now. Way too late. Don't you all wish I'd just quit? I'm getting ready to. Okay. So he said, just build. Build it right. Okay, so let's go over to Hebrews for a minute. Just get it up there real quick, Kathy. If you beat me there, I'll just go ahead. Hebrews 12, please. You got to see this, Hebrews 12. And I want to confirm just what I said. You guys don't care about my opinion. You don't come here to hear that. What do I know? But if I can back it up with a word, that's what I do. All right, let's look. Let me back it up now, the word of God, what I just said. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 25. Okay. See that you do not refuse him, capital H. Make sure you don't refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on the earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him? We go and just do our own thing. He says, do you think you're going to escape? You're under the blood, and the blood is much more powerful than the Ten Commandments, the written word. We got it written on the tables of our heart. So, shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice, verse 26, whose voice then shook the earth? But now he has promised, saying this. Look, church, this is for us. Yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also heaven. That's way out there. That's when the new heaven and the new earth come down. Verse 27. Now this, yes, once more indicates, he tells you what that once more means. It indicates a removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken, they will remain. So, we recognize these nut trees in California. They shake those walnut trees and almond trees. They shake them, shake all the nuts off onto the ground. God said there's a shaking, and everything that can be shaken will fall off. Only the things that can't be shaken will remain. And if you're founded on the rock, you'll remain. Now, here's the answer right here. I'm so happy this is here, verse 28. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Why? Oh, for the simple fact that our God is a consuming fire. That's why. Because he loves us with an unconditional love. But he's also our judge, and he is a consuming fire. But he said the only thing that cannot be shaken is the kingdom. And if you live in the kingdom, you won't be shaken either. Now look at that last line there in verse 28. Let us have grace. Why? So that we can live as sinners? No, he said, let us have grace by which we may serve, so we can serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Because he said, if I didn't give you grace, you wouldn't serve me at all. I don't get too proud of myself. You should be proud, because if it wasn't for grace, Lord knows what we'd be doing. But he said, I gave you grace so you could serve me, right? And you would give reverence to me and love me and be on my side. All right, so he gave us the grace to live right. Now, let me give you an old-fashioned scripture. Say, get old-fashioned, Pastor. You know I can't. The only thing wrong with that? It's a word, so it's not old-fashioned. It's very, very relevant. What he said then, he meant now. So just in case you're wondering, well, I don't like it that she said we're not sinners saved by grace. Well, look, if you want to believe that, believe that. I'm just telling you, I'm not going to believe that, and that's not what our church is going to teach. You say, did you hear me say that? No, I didn't hear a soul say it. Okay, so nobody's guilty. If you were, it wouldn't even matter, okay? But I'm just telling you what my little Parker told me, and it just ticked me off. It just messed with me so bad. I didn't even tell you guys, because I didn't even want you to know how... Oh, I think I told you, David. I didn't want to make y'all mad. So, anyway. Here's what the Bible says. Jesus said, oh, by the way, I want you to tell them who I'm coming after. When I come in the last days, when the trumpet sounds, and they hear the trumpet of God... And the Bible says Jesus Christ himself will return from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then we which are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, in the clouds, in the air, to forever be with the Lord where he is. But here's what I wanted to say. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 5:27. Go ahead and put that up, Kathy. Ephesians 5:27. Because this is like old hat these days, all right? Nobody wants to hear this. But how many say, I'll hear it, Pastor. Yeah. Okay, we're going to hear it if you want to go home. All right. Ephesians 5:27. Look at this. That he... Jesus might present her, the bride of Christ, to himself. Now here's where it starts getting a little mess with some folks. He will present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. Quiet in here. You know, when they used to sacrifice the little lamb, remember, it had to be without blemish? Well, he said, no, that's who I'm coming for. The one that is spotless and without blemish. He said, I can't do it, Pastor. I just can't do it. What did I just read you about grace? He said, I gave you grace so you could do it. So you could live holy, so you could be right. He said, be ye holy as I am holy. So I said, I'm the reason that you can do this. So he says, I'm coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. You know what a wrinkle is? You know, when I got over 40, I can't even laugh without these things showing up. They just start attacking you, you know? Okay, but Jesus says, no, I'm not coming for a wrinkled up bride. I don't want you leaning on yesterday's inspiration. I want you to be a fresh, beautiful, relevant, today's bride that's still in love with me, talks to me every day, doesn't ignore me, and treat me like an unwanted boyfriend. I'm coming for you because you're fresh and you don't have any wrinkles. I'm not coming for no wrinkled up bride. Thank God he's not looking at us physically. said, oh, my people, you know what he thinks about you? You know what he thinks about me and you? He thinks, Teresa, that we are so perfect. He thinks we are his beloved. He's got this love for us that is so unconditional. And he says, when you're on my rock, you don't pick up wrinkles. You stay right in it with me. But let me say this. You're a Christian. You're either a Christian or you're a sinner. You say, oh, well, I'm not perfect. Hey, we all call on the Lord every day. Lord, forgive me. Wash me. Cleanse me. I shouldn't have said that. Shouldn't have done that. He's good. But you cannot be a habitual sinner. Go right back to your beds of adultery. Can't just go back to the mess. He told the lady, go and sin no more. Now, you want me to close? I'm going to. After this. How many know the borders are open in America? We've seen murders on the streets of New York. We've saw murders all over the place. Thieving, we don't know who's coming through those borders. And yet, Mr. Mayorkas says, the borders are closed. The borders are doing good. But I want to tell you, church, I don't want you and me. God doesn't, you and I cannot be caught up if our borders are open. And we believe everything that we want to do can come in. Because the Bible says where there is envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. We cannot allow anything that feels good to come in. We can't just open ourselves up to everything. It would get really messy, and great will be the fall of it. So I'm just saying today, there is so much that's available to us. And he said in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, say it with me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay, if we receive that, we believe with our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we shall be saved. But if we reject that, then we get Revelation 3:16. You know what Revelation 3:16 says? This. Jesus speaking. Now you either be cold or you be hot. But don't you be lukewarm. Because if you get lukewarm and you're just going through the motions and you're just burnt out because you've not been spending time with him, if you're all burnt out, you really don't care about him, he says, no, it's worse than that. He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. I'll just put you out. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold, but don't be lukewarm. Now, he don't like that because that just means you're ignoring him. All right, stand up or I'll just keep going. I'll tell you, church, I believe this is the day that darkness and light is going to be so apparent and the lines are drawn. Put up Daniel 2:22, Kathy. I want them to see this. Man can try to hide his stuff. The government can try to hide the stuff. We can try to hide anything we want, but Daniel 2:22 says he reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. He is the light, and he has all the light that you and I need. It's all for us. Father, thank you for this message today. Lord, I must ask you a million times to please help me with it, because, Lord, it is so full, and I thank you for it. Lord, it's a message has been here for 2,000 years now. Lord, those before, they only wish they could have known about grace. They only wish they could have seen you and knew who you were. But Father, we're on the other side. We want to say thank you, as the song said. Thank you for giving us your Son. Thank you for the Holy Ghost who dwells in us. Oh, Father, we praise you. And Lord, I pray you'll help us just draw close to you, the one that loves us the very most. You said, we're your child. And Lord, that you would keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. For every mind in every man and every woman that's in this room that's confused or mixed up, they don't even know what they're going to do. I pray that conviction fill this house. That they say, no, I'm not going to fall apart. I'm the woman of God. No, I'm not going to fall apart. I'm the man of God. No, I'm not going to fall apart. I'm a backslidden sinner, but I'm going to come to you, Jesus. I'm going to get on the rock. I refuse to stand in this darkness. Church, we are living in this world. Jesus says, Father, I don't pray that you take them out of the world because I was in it. He said, now they're in it, but they're not of it. He wants us to be here, church. He wants us to be in this world so that we can be who we are. Just be you. Just be who you are, and he'll send people right to you. Well, the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his beautiful countenance towards you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. I love you.